Our faith journey is a story unique to each individual and is constantly being written. No two people are identical, no two days are alike, but God is the same. This is the Real Stories of Life with God podcast, a place for honest conversations about life and faith. I'm your host, Chelsea Eubank, and I'm really glad you're here. Let's jump into today's episode.
Okay, well, how about we just start by you telling us a little bit about you and your family and what you do?
Okay, I'm Kyra. I've been married to Joe for almost 15 years now. And we have a daughter named Haven. She's about to be 10. And I worked as a caregiver for a while at Cuyahoga Baptist. And then this year, I've started working more with the nonprofit organization, Augusta Locally Grown. And we connect farmers with the community and help people find healthy food.
So cool. I feel like back when I first learned about them, it was like monthly or weekly. You could go to a particular location and buy things.
Yes. So we do have in-person farmers markets every week. And we have several like in the downtown Augusta area. And we have once monthly in Deering now. That just started fairly recently. And then we have our online market, which is you can order online over the weekend from like Friday at noon to Sunday at 9 p.m. And then you can pick up at one of three locations on Tuesday evening. So like on the way home from work or after picking your kids up from school, that kind of stuff.
And I think I hear your chickens in the background. Doesn't Haven love taking care of those chickens?
She absolutely does. It is her favorite thing. We started keeping chickens. She was not even two when we got chickens, and she's just adored them ever since. And chickens are like the gateway animal. So, you know, you start with chickens and then you end up with goats and rabbits and all the other fun stuff.
The gateway animal.
They are.
I've never heard that. That is funny.
And then you start, you're like, oh, I just need a couple chickens. And then you end up with 100 chickens somehow. We don't really have 100, but I've lost count at this point. I think we have like, it's between 20 and 30 at this point.
Oh my goodness. So cool. Okay. My first question for you is, what currently stirs your love for God?
So I have to go with nature on that for sure. And that really goes back to my testimony of when I really felt like I, you know, connected with the Lord. And that was after I had Haven. I had really bad postpartum depression, and it took me a long time to identify it as postpartum depression because I had always considered postpartum depression to be you want to hurt yourself or you want to hurt your baby. Something like that. And that's definitely not the case. And for me, it was a dark cloud that hung over me, and I was just exhausted. And it was motherhood was learning a new language almost, and learning to be vulnerable. And I didn't know how to ask. I didn't know how to be vulnerable and ask for help or anything through that, all that exhaustion. So Haven was born in September, and then in December, I was, you know, deep in the darkness, and a seed catalog showed up in our mail, and Joe and I had had small gardens before and enjoyed, you know, growing a few tomatoes, zucchini, whatever. And then once that seed catalog showed up in the mail, I became so focused on, I'm going to grow some stuff. I'm going to buy some seeds and I'm going to grow some stuff. And this is something to look forward to. It was like, I desperately needed something to look forward to. And to get me through that long, cold winter, it was the seeds. I ordered the seeds. I planted them. I had like a little indoor setup with lights and, you know, watching them grow and tending to them. And then when it was time to put them out in April, I was out there digging in the dirt, and I was just so exhausted because I had a baby that wouldn't sleep, which means that I didn't sleep. And I didn't have a great attitude about things because I was running on little sleep and I didn't feel like I was getting the help I needed. But again, I didn't know how to ask for that help. And it was just very suddenly, I felt that there was a presence with me outside while I was digging in the dirt. And at first, it was just like I was ignoring it. I tell people that I explain it as it felt like a presence. But if we want to get descriptive about it, let's pretend that basically the Lord plopped down in the garden next to me and he had on like floral gardening gloves and a floppy sun hat. And he's just hanging out there, ready to listen and being infinitely patient with me because I was ignoring him. And then as the season progressed, I found myself as I'm starting to pick beans, I start acknowledging that he's there with me. The tomatoes start ripening. I'm finally like starting to talk to him. I'm talking out loud to him in my garden. And luckily I don't have neighbors close by because they would have been like, what is she doing? Who is she talking to? Is she talking to herself out there? that's really when it began for me, was with nature, and gardening was kind of like the beginning of that, like creating a relationship with God and getting me through the hard times of the early stages of motherhood. And you hear people talk often about these seasons in our life, and if you as you read through the Bible, you see things discussed in terms of seasonal. This is just the season. And I like to consider my life in seasons. That's really important because day to day, things change so quickly. Everything is so temporary.
Or they feel so overwhelming.
Yes.
So it's like, not only is it temporary, but also if it's a really hard day or week, like time is still passing. This season will not last forever, hopefully.
Yes. And that's what gets you through sometimes. The age old saying, the days are long, but the years are short. And that like perfectly describes, a lot of things, but for me, like I'm focused on motherhood when I consider that now.
Oh, I love it. What I love, the two things that stand out to me about what you said was, one was that God, it was such a grace of him to provide something for you physically to do. Because I think a lot of time that postpartum depression, anxiety, weariness, the stuckness exacerbates it. The feeling stuck and feeling like this is all that I have right now, as much as we love our kids, feels very overwhelming. And so it was such a grace of him, such a kindness of him to give you something physically tangible to do, to like get you out of your head a little bit.
Absolutely.
And then on top of that, the so sweet, that gift of a sense of his presence. Because it's not a, I've been learning a lot about this recently. Like, I want to be careful that I do not pursue those sensations. Right. But they are very real because he is very real and he is present with us.
That's so true.
So I want to desire those things. I want to ask for those things. And I want to be super grateful and worshipful when I do get that experience, because I think it's such a sweet gift. And it's such a, so then when the next week, when you're like, oh, well, it doesn't feel the same. And I'm like, that doesn't make it any less real.
Right.
It adds a depth to your life with him, your relationship with him, when we do get blessed with those very real senses and very real experiences of his presence with us. So I think it's so cool of him.
It's true. Cause to feel his presence is also, I have anxiety over a lot of things. And when I feel his presence, I'm almost instantly calmed. Like,
it changes everything.
It changes everything. And it reminds me, like, I need to slow down and live in this moment instead of being anxious about, the future, whatever is coming up. I don't think that we know what we truly believe about God until we go through trials in our life. And, you know, for me, I'm blessed to say that, you know, the worst thing that ever happened to me was postpartum depression, and learning to live with it, to overcome it, and to fully give my trust over to give it to God. That was the first time in my life where I can say that I said, this is yours. This, I'm laying this down. It's too big for me. And to trust that he would comfort me and get me through that.
You are preaching directly to my soul at this moment. And so I am 100% sure it's going to encourage someone else. But yeah. And the one thing you said, slow down and be in this moment with God. I think it was Kathy Keller who said, God does not give hypothetical grace for hypothetical situations. And it's almost like our anxiety is usually lingering in the past, like with regret, or running ahead to the future with our imagination. And our imagination is usually not the most positive thing. It's usually the most negative thing. Our imagination usually gives us the scariest version of things. But to slow, like that phrase, slow down and be in the moment with God, because he can be enough for the moment, but I have to be where my feet are. Right. Because then you said staying in it, you know, that is one of the hardest things, to not run away from a feeling, or, I mean, you said like to stay in it and with him to overcome and to walk through and to give it to him. I mean, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. It's so powerful.
When you're deeply uncomfortable in a situation, and nobody likes to be uncomfortable, but for me, most of the time, like for instance, public speaking or, you know, something like that, where I'm vulnerable to a situation, I liken it to feeling like I'm crawling out of my own skin. Like, I don't want to be here. And so for me to learn to that he's there for me through any deeply uncomfortable moment that I have, and to know there's nothing that I can get through anything, because I have him.
Yes, 100%. I feel like we could talk about it the rest of the day. So I'm gonna make a reluctant pivot to my next question, which is there anything currently stifling your love for the Lord?
So many distractions that get in the way of my relationship with God. I hate to admit that, but there's a lot of distractions, and I'm just going to go with the first one that comes to mind, and that's technology. It's a burden and it's a blessing. But, you know, for me, I think the main thing is social media. Some of the work that I do is, you know, I'm involved with getting on social media, talking to the community. It's the easiest way to gather people together quickly and get quick responses. From a lot of people. And if I'm not careful, you know, I get sucked down that rabbit hole of looking at things that don't matter, reading articles that, you know, just get in the way. They distract me from my real life, from what's going on right in front of me. So that's definitely the hardest thing for me is technology.
Because it really requires such wisdom to know what your limits are and what your boundary lines are and what someone else's might be. Because like you use it for business, and so you kind of have to be on there. But it's like, so say you use it for that, then you have to come up, you and God have to come up with what your boundary, have you figured out what's helpful to you, or are there any practical things?
Basically setting a timer.
Nice. Yeah. Simple, but very effective.
It is. So I set a timer. So I am more organized with knowing, okay, I'm going to start my day with posting what needs to be posted. And then I'll come back at a specific time. I'll set an alarm or whatever. Okay. Go back and check and see what responses you got. If you need to reply to anyone, Yeah, just being more intentional with my time. And I think the timers really help with that for sure.
That is a really good, easy, practical.
That's worked. And it's also helpful now that I have a 10-year-old who she's not on social media, but you know, she wants to look at things on the internet, and you know, she does things for school where she has to be on there. And of course, it's very easy for her to get distracted and want to look at things. So I'm trying to be a role model for her. That's not the right word.
No, but you are trying to kind of model good habits, or at least to say that this is not really neutral. Like, this does something to me, and it will do something to you, but you may not have the capacity to understand how much it's doing to you.
Exactly. So I want her to see, okay, well, you know, mom's being intentional with her time, and, you know, hopefully that helps her too. So, you know, I have a timer, she has a timer.
I love that so much. Okay, let's move on. My next fill in the blank is, the truth that God is blank means a lot to you because blank.
The truth that God is omnipresent means a lot to me because I need him desperately when I'm driving my car down the road in the morning, when I'm at home, when I'm at work, on a random Wednesday at the grocery store. you know, there are just random moments when I think, you know, I need to talk this out, like, out loud. And I do. I'll talk out loud, and I know no matter where I am, when I do that, he's there. He's listening.
Yeah.
He's right there for me. So that's really, really important to me when everything else can feel temporary. I know that he's eternal and he's there constantly. And the fact that he's so big that while he's listening to me talk about something random in my day, he's also listening to anyone else. It's hard to fathom how big he is in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
It's hard to fathom, but it's also such a comfort in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you feel alone, that is a lie that you are being told. And to be able to be aware of God's presence, that you're not alone, no matter how hard things are, or if it feels like you can't overcome, you know, whatever is holding you back. When you realize that you're not alone, it changes your whole perspective and it changes your attitude.
Yeah.
About how you handle things.
And when that alone feeling, I think, just perpetuates whatever the other thing is.
Right.
Just makes it feel more overwhelming if I'm in it by myself with no help. And like you're saying, that is just a lie. That is not true. We never don't have any help, and we never aren't loved, and we're never left alone. We're never forsaken. You know, all those beautiful truths in the Bible are just so, so powerful.
Oh. Going back to, you know, talking about living my life by the season, we have the hard seasons and we have what feel, you know, if everything feels easy for a while, if you're lucky, you know, everything will kind of feel like everything has fallen into place going on. But, you know, that can get turned upside down so quickly. And that's one thing with parenting that will humble you quickly, is as soon as you're like, oh, I've got this, we finally hit this stage, or, you know, whatever it is, and you think all this season is, this is good. And then it's going to get switched up on you and you're going to be like, what happened? I don't know what I'm doing again. Forces you back to God. It forces you back to say, you know, I need you every hour of every day. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I need you. And, you know, that's, no season is wasted. You know, even when it you know, in the early days of parenting, it was, oh, I'm not getting anything done. And that was, you know, the main thing when I realized, wait a minute, I need to slow down. I'm caught up in the busyness of this season. And that means I'm losing sight of what is important. I'm losing sight of God. I'm losing sight of, you know, my daughter, or her, the way that she's growing right now. I'm, you know, all the things that are important.
Yeah.
So it's important to slow down, and also to remember, you know, when we're in the thick of it, that whatever we're doing is enough. You know, if we have our focus on the Lord, no time is wasted as long as we're focusing on the right things.
I just want to sit with that. So good.
But, you know, there's always going to be hunger for more. You know, I think that phrase gets used a lot, you know, metaphorically, hunger for more. So to me, it's just important to remember, while I am always going to hunger for more, that's only the Lord can satisfy that. Whatever I'm hungering for, He's the answer to that. And that's the one thing that I don't want to lose sight of through all the hard times. And I'm just thankful that He's got me through the dark times. And I know there will be more to come, but there's nothing that I can't overcome, because He's with me. And He's made everything beautiful in its time. And when we get through, you know, when I get into the messy moments, that's what I always remind myself. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Mm-hmm. And that's usually never on my time.
The trust. Yeah. You used that word earlier, but
yeah.
Just and have to trust that I'm not God, and He is, and He knows, and He cares for me. And
that's where the trust comes from.
There's so many things, so much good truth in there to remember. You said something where I wrote it down. If we're hungry, you use the word hunger and you use the word focus. If we are pursuing God, no matter how weak it feels to us, right? Because I'm like, well, last year I did it way more. I felt like it was way better than right now. You know, if we are in the direction of God, if we are orienting ourselves toward God, and then what we're doing is enough, even if it doesn't, even if in our flesh we don't think that it's enough. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to nitpick that too much, but there is some rest in saying, God, I am seeking You, and I desire You, and I'm being honest with You. It might not be even all positive. I'm honest with You, and I'm pursuing You, and I'm just going to do the next right thing and trust that You're going to help me and make it okay.
Yes. I mean, that's what I learned to do was just, I don't have all the answers, and I'm not in control, and I need to rest in Him. I mean, it's really just as simple as that. Like, if I'm going to find rest, it's only possible if I seek Him, if I go to Him, that is where I'm going to find it, you know. And time and time again, through all these seasons, it just comes back to that every season. And it's, you know, my reminder, and a constant reminder. And I'm so thankful to have that.
So sweet. That's great. My last question is, what is something you're looking forward to?
So if you can hear me, if I'm not drowned out by these chickens out here right now, I find peace in nature. I say this as my chickens are screaming. No. So what I'm looking forward to, so this year, at the beginning of the year, I had a talk with the Lord about the fact that I let myself just get really comfortable. Like, I find what's comfortable, and that's my safe space, and that's where I stay. And I had a conversation with God about this being my year of yes. And what I meant by that was, I'm going to say yes to the to things that make me feel uncomfortable, and I'm just giving it all over to him, and I'm trusting that whatever he brings my way, I can say yes, and I can overcome whatever deeply uncomfortable feelings it brings up. And so for me, I'm looking forward to seeing what God has in store for me next in this year of yes, because I've stepped so far out of my comfort zone already this year. And that again allowed me to find more trust in him. And so yeah, I'm just looking forward to what he has in store for me next in this year.